Hello, and welcome to our latest episode of Kristen's Corner, a podcast by your state senator, Kristen Phillips Hill. I really appreciate you tuning in, and we pick up today with another episode of our podcast focused on the coronavirus. The podcast has featured leaders in respective industries in York County. We've heard how this pandemic has impacted our healthcare, our economy, our law enforcement, and higher education. And today, we get to discuss how the pandemic is impacting public education. And I want to welcome today's guest, Dr. Nathan Van Dusen, who is the superintendent of the Southeastern School District. Dr. Van Dusen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So as a disclaimer, we are recording this podcast over Zoom so that we are not violating any CDC guidelines. Dr. Van Dusen, we've had several conversations on the COVID-19 pandemic, and it goes back to around the time that you and superintendents across the county made the decision to temporarily close schools. And I want to point out that your county's public school leaders arrived at that decision before the state's mandate went into effect. So if you could, walk us through those decisions and how you came to that conclusion.
Okay, thank you. So the decision obviously came down on March 13th, but there was some background that was happening prior to that. On the week of March 2nd, I know York County superintendents were all in correspondence and in sending emails and correspondence out to our parents just in regards to CDC guidelines and COVID-19, PA Department of Health links and those types of things. It seemed like when things ramped up the subsequent week, that week of March 9th. On the 9th, we attended a PEMA presentation on COVID-19 in Carlisle. On the 10th, we had an IU-12 information session hosted by Dr. West. And then by Thursday the 12th, things were really ramping up. I mean, I feel blessed to have so many very good and capable York County superintendents because we have a text group where we're constantly in correspondence and texting one another just to see where we are in regards to difficult situations. So on the 12th, things started shutting down. And then the evening of the 12th, Dr. Lamond in Southern York County School District had made the decision to close after a board meeting because of some families that they had in that district that had attended a music festival in the Northeast. We had also, many of our other districts had also had, teachers and parents and students that had also attended that festival. So things really ramped up, I think, really on the night of the 12th. And then the 13th was our monthly York County Superintendent meeting that we have each month at York Tech. And basically the goal for that meeting was to discuss where we wanted to go. We weren't getting a lot of guidance at that point. So we made the decision, we basically had two camps. One camp really thought that we needed to close for the next 2 weeks, and another camp that felt like we just needed to wait to get guidance. We coalesced around the idea that we would, close for 2 weeks and then moved into the phase where we're communicating that with our teams. So we made that decision, I want to say maybe around 10 a.m. On Friday the 13th, went back to our buildings, went back to our districts, and then communicated our plans with our teams. So the rest of the day was basically spent setting up those plans. So I had a 12 o'clock meeting with the principals in my Act 93 group, and then the principals then met with their teachers at 2 o'clock to share everything. And then as we know, by I think it was 3 or 3:30, the governor had closed schools for the next 2 weeks. So we had kind of started that plan, but then had to kind of switch gears and change gears a bit because now basically we are told that our districts were going to go dark for 2 weeks. Our plan initially was to bring our teachers in for 2 days, Monday and Tuesday of the next week. I think that was the 16th and 17th. And then start a distance learning platform the Wednesday. But we made the decision that it would be best if we just closed school as Governor Wolf had indicated so that we basically went dark for those 10 days.
There was a lot of uncertainty at that point. And as I recall, I actually had a conference call with Secretary Rivera at noon on that very day. And I remember feeling like legislators weren't getting a lot of input from the secretary. Our school districts weren't getting a lot of input from the secretary. And I do appreciate that York County schools collaborate and work together, not only to make these types of decisions, but they join together to share the development of curriculum, purchasing of supplies to increase savings. And I know that you work together very well, and I think that's a good thing. So here we are now, and we're operating under this new normal. And, yesterday I took to the floor, had a conversation about telemedicine legislation. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are operating under a new normal. Just a month ago, I was told by WellSpan Health that 0.4% of their patients' visits were conducted using telemedicine, telehealth. And there have been some changes at the federal level that have allowed this to begin to flourish here. In just a short month, they've gone from 0.4% of those visits to over 47% of all visits to doctors are being conducted over telemedicine, telehealth, using either a computer or a telephone. And this is a new normal in medicine. Businesses are transitioning to providing services online, placing orders, curbside deliveries. So it's a new normal. What does the new normal in education look like? What does that delivery of educational content look like for our students, for our teachers, for other public school staff during this pandemic?
That's a great question. And I would totally agree with, your points about telemedicine. It's the same thing in education. You know, we have gone basically since March 16th for about 2 weeks to Google Hangout meetings on a daily basis with our principals. We then after the dark days, the 2 weeks of dark days, we moved into twice a week with Google Hangouts with our principals. Do the same thing with my cabinet, have a weekly cabinet meeting via that Google Hangout platform. We do a daily York County superintendent meeting through that platform, as well as a weekly IU-12 superintendent meeting. So we have definitely moved into that platform. When we talk about our students and how we're, how we're doing the learning, how we're moving basically from a face-to-face to a virtual platform, we are using more of an LMS. Like a Google. In our district, we're using the Google platform and the Google Classroom. So basically, our teachers, have folders for their, for their content and place their content, and it could be synchronous or asynchronous, and share that with the kids. And the kids have basically things that they have to accomplish for the day and for the week. So that's kind of how it goes. From more of a broad communication standpoint, I've tried to do multiple letters to parents. You know, when this whole thing started, it was more than once a week, and it's gotten out down to probably a week. You know, last Saturday, I did something out to our seniors. The week before, I did a video to our students and staff. So in my what I'm trying to do is stay up to, what's happening at the state level, and then communicating that down to all of our stakeholders to make them aware. There's also some other big things I think that we did really well initially that have really helped us out. On the 13th, when I sent the initial correspondence out to parents, we sent out a number of Google surveys. One was a nutritional support survey to see which families would be in need of breakfast, lunches. And then in addition to that, more support, whether it was food bank support, or we have social worker, Ms. Wojciech, who has worked really hard to get food and nutritional support out to families in our area. We did one on, technology needs and tech support, which I think I'll talk about a little bit later. We did a workload survey just to check in, to do a check-in with parents to see where their kids were working and see, basically if there was, if we were giving too much or too little. The data from that provided us some really good information. You know, we found out that about 75% of our families felt like the workload was manageable, but those 25 that felt like it may be too much, we went back and coded some information from that survey and went back to our teachers to kind of reevaluate where we're following our continuity of education plan. So I think communication, when your broad question about communication, I think communication has been key, but it's definitely been done basically in a different manner than what we're used to.
Well, and I know that we've spoken on several occasions since the school shutdown took effect. And I know the other evening, I was supposed to speak at a college course over at York College with students who are in a program to get their certificate to be administrators here in York County. And it's an ethics and law class. And, I just sought their input. Of course, it was over Google Zoom. And, you know, I think what they all shared with me is very similar to what you are saying. But, you know, that not being able to physically connect in a collaborative setting with their students has been probably their greatest challenge, and missing their students and worrying about them were some of the biggest things that they had shared with me. And these were people who were from districts from all over York County, and I'm hearing very similar things. So just transition a little, an issue that I've been very passionate about, and I think a lot of people are now beginning to really understand why, is our lack of high-speed broadband and how it hurts us in so many ways, from our economic competitiveness, from the ability to deliver healthcare to people who are in remote areas, to education. And I think students and parents are witnessing that firsthand, particularly in the Southeastern School District, as you have been forced to shift from the classroom, in a brick and mortar classroom, to a classroom in the computer. And how's Southeastern addressing those issues?
That's another great question, one that we've addressed. I know I had called you. I had seen a picture of Xfinity's hotspot locations, and I know you had mentioned this to me when we met over the summer of 2019. And it basically, if you ever look at that picture, it tells us a lot, because it's like there are Xfinity hotspots all over the county except for the Southeastern School District. It's literally like they follow the boundaries of our district. So I sent that to you, and I appreciate you responded right away. And you had a gentleman from Armstrong that we had a conversation. I think the problem that we had at that point at least, was the timing. I mean, things were happening so quickly. We had to make some short-term decisions on how to proceed and how to do this distance education. So what we did is we did a technology survey out to parents, basically asking who has access to the internet and who doesn't. And we did the same thing for teachers, because we have many teachers who also live in this district. And the data revealed some real needs. We had 16 teachers that didn't have internet access at all. We had 136 respondents. These are families. This is not specific, individuals, but these are families with, in many cases, multiple kids in their home that didn't have access to the internet. So our tech department, led by Ms. McKnight, really did a wonderful job figuring out what we're going to do. And our goal for this was hotspots for every family that needed it. So we provided just shy of 120 hotspots. Now, when I said 136 families, not all of them in the end needed it. There were a number of families that got into the survey after and just let us know that they had, somehow gotten their own hotspot or done something else to make this work. But at this point, we have done some great things in this district. We've provided access to our internet through those hotspots all over our district. So again, I'm very proud. It's been a really, really heavy lift for our tech department, from ordering the hotspots to reconfiguring them, to distributing them, and then to, you know, providing tech support for all those families. So, but I think at this point in the ballgame, I think we have all of that under control and, you know, things seem to be going well.
Well, and you bring up a good point. I think some of the people, you know, there are so many people who've been on the front lines in, you know, protecting the public health, and we're so incredibly grateful for them. But I do think that the tech support folks may be some of the, probably the greatest unsung heroes that we've seen, because so much of what we're doing now, we couldn't do without them. And that's a really good point. And I just, I like the innovative out of the box thinking that you have been able to bring to this challenge. It's great to see.
Thank you.
You know, it, and in this day and age, so much social media is on the internet, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And I think some people view it as a blessing, and other times people have viewed it as a curse. But one of the things that I've seen is that, and I've been really encouraged by, is the standing up for this year's seniors, supporting them in what is usually just an amazing chapter in a young person's life. And I know senioritis usually kicks in by now, but, you know, kids who are in high school, they're looking forward to prom and to graduation and to sports, spring sports championships, and celebrating big milestone achievements with their family and their friends. So how are you helping seniors who are going through these last few months of their public education with no precedent? And there are academic things as well. You know, there's usually those awards ceremonies for students to recognize their accomplishments. Kids are taking AP exams, maybe hitting the SAT exam one last time to up their score. You know, how are you able to help those kids go through these very unusual times?
I think this has definitely been a difficulty. And I know from a parent's perspective in Southeastern, there's a parent group in Facebook basically that you know, is pushing the district and saying, hey, we can't make these decisions too quickly, which we totally agree with. What we don't, and this is the balance thing when we talk about things like, you know, milestone events like the prom and graduation. We want to be able to make the decision in time to be able to do something if it's a distance platform, that we have time to have our stakeholders work and do that right. But at the same time, we want to be able to offer an opportunity for our kids to walk in our stadium for graduation if they can, if we are able to do so. So that's the balance. So I had to keep up with the correspondence with families. I sent out an email just to our senior parents last week. It was the 18th, I think it was Saturday, just to let them know that this is definitely something that we're obviously considering, we're thinking about. So we're trying to take the approach where we're not making a decision too early. The other thing is, we're not, you know, some of the guidance that we're given isn't totally, doesn't necessarily help us. So, you know, we find out that the stay-at-home order is going to now be extended to May 8th. But we also know on May 8th that we're you know, the state is starting to open some businesses. So, you know, there's a dichotomy there in the thought process. We want to open it up to some extent, which is, I think, is fabulous. So on our end, from a superintendent's perspective, does that mean that we can start having conversations about, let's say, June, having a June or July graduation? So there are a lot of unknowns there. So we're kind of sitting on the fence. We're kind of preparing for two different things. So our high, you know, Ms. Vinay in our high school is preparing for a virtual ceremony while simultaneously preparing for, you know, something where that would be more traditional in our stadium. So that's kind of where we are with that. I think you also ask about special things that we're doing for our seniors. We're also, we have a number of things in the works, which I won't let the cat out of the bag because I think these will start to be known on May 1st, but we're doing a couple of special things for our seniors as well that they will appreciate.
Well, I'm sorry we can't break that hot news here first, but I understand. I understand you want to keep some, make it special, and that's
great. I think our high school administration wouldn't be appreciative if I broke the news here.
No, you never want to be on the wrong side of the high school principal, for sure. But I think that, you know, whether you're in business or healthcare or education, I think that a lot of people are taking a similar approach, and that is planning for the worst and, of course, mm-hmm. hoping for the best. And mm-hmm. We certainly hope that and are working toward, you know, responsibly reopening our Commonwealth in a way that we can assure public health and a good economic future for everyone. So I asked this question when we had Dr. Gunter Smith from York College on about, you know, what lessons she thinks they've learned in higher education. And I'm going to ask you the same questions. So what lessons do you think public education is going to learn because of this pandemic and how our response has been? And I say from our federal government all the way down to our local schools, our communities, what are we learning?
I think that we're learning a lot about ourselves, and I'll give one word: resilience. I think that it's important for us to look at this from an aspect of our ability to be resilient in these circumstances, and to look at these circumstances as opportunities, not obstacles. You know, Ryan Holiday has written a book called The Obstacle is the Way, where he talks about the art of turning trials into triumphs. I think we have to look at it differently. I don't think we have to look at this as something that's only going to negatively affect us. It's only going to negatively affect the schools and the families and our from the economic standpoint too. But we have to look at this as an opportunity. How can we make ourselves better? So I know, you know, we have looked at this in our district as how can this make us better as we move back to a face-to-face format. Is there an opportunity here that we can strengthen our ROLO program, which is our distance and our online learning platform? You know, because now we have teachers that are pretty adept at this LMS and Google Classroom format. Can we take education to the next step to create more opportunities for kids through this distance learning? So I would say that number one is resilience and learning to overcome these obstacles. And number two is really the collaboration. This is the thing that I have been the most impressed with. And I think that starts with the York County Superintendents Group and the IU 12 Superintendents Group, the ability for all of us to, you know, have conversations, run things by one another, because I'll tell you, we've had many conversations where, you know, there's a district that wants to do something one way, but when we talk it through as a group, that superintendent decides, hey, maybe that's not best practice and I need to shift my thinking. Because it's just about collaboration and hearing different perspectives. So I think that's something else that I've really learned and really appreciated, especially about our IU 12 superintendents group. So I'd say those are the big things: resilience and the importance of collaboration. And that's internal too. We've collaborated, like I said, we are having daily principal meetings. We're having, you know, meeting with Dr. Sanders, our assistant superintendent, you know, virtually a lot, you know, as well as Dr. Ness, our pupil personnel director, has done some great work on our website and probably has learned more about our website in the last couple of weeks than she has all year. So all of those have created great opportunities for our district to become stronger.
I am hopeful for the future with that response. And I'm excited at the prospect of, you know, the potential benefit of becoming more technologically savvy in education and the future opportunities that will provide to our students. And I know, you know, these kids are definitely resilient. I mean, this is the class that was born right around 9/11, one of the greatest challenges yep. our nation had faced in generations. And, you know, they're graduating in these very unprecedented circumstances. And I think that they are going to be very, very resilient. So I know, Dr. Van Dusen, that you are extremely busy, and I am so very grateful for your time to spend just a few minutes with our listeners. And so I want to ask you if you have any parting words for the students, the parents, the teachers in Southeastern School District.
I mean, I guess my parting word would just be thank you. And basically, I'm proud to be a Ram. Thanks to my Act 93 group, my team that has really worked countless hours to work on building the platform. That's, you know, our principals, our central office staff, our special ed department, our business office, our technology department, the assistant superintendent, like our buildings and grounds. Everybody, I think, has coalesced around this problem and figured out ways to make us stronger through this. Definitely for our teachers, because we're built for a face-to-face learning model. And they have done such a great job building those platforms in Google and kind of being flexible along the way and basically doing, you know, building the plane as we're flying it. So they have done such a great job. And also to our parents, you know, they're the ones that are sitting at home supporting their kids through this distance learning platform. And I know it's not easy. I know having three of my own kids at home right now, I know that it's difficult. It's very difficult to juggle all the things that we have to juggle, but they're doing so just with poise and grace, and that's greatly appreciated. So I think those would be my parting words. I'm proud to be a Ram and just so proud of how we've worked through kind of these times that we can't really control and we can't do anything about.
I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with our listeners today. And I think there is certainly a lot that you can be very proud of to be a Ram. And I want to let everyone know that concludes another episode of Kristen's Corner with your State Senator, Kristen Phillips Hill. Today's guest was Dr. Nathan Van Dusen, who is the superintendent of the Southeastern School District. For any additional information on today's podcast, please visit my website at senatorkristen.com. This is State Senator Kristen Phillips Hill, and we will talk to you again soon.